Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome along to the Performance Review and Scrutiny Committee. In the absence of the Chair, can I ask for nominations, please? Any others? Councillor Johnson?
Good morning. Welcome to everyone for attending today, and can you confirm the order of business, please?
Yeah, Chair, the order of business is as printed in the agenda, with the one apology, which is from Councillor Parry. Okay.
Thank you. And members should declare any financial or non-financial interest they have in the items for consideration and identify the agenda item. You can do that now or during the meeting. Minutes of the previous meeting on the 28th of November submitted for approval. Are we happy to approve those? Thank you. And we now move on to the public reports, and there's a few various different ones that were submitted to Cabinet, and there's covering reports for them. And the first one is the inspection of Midlothian Council Care at Home, and that's going to we're going to be taken through that by Mr. Short.
Thanks, Councillor Johnson. So this report sets out the recent inspection by the Care Inspectorate into the internal care at home services within Midlothian Council. Start by saying it's a very disappointing report for us to receive. Clearly a number of actions and outstanding actions that we had not implemented. As I say, that resulted in grades as set out 2.3, which is noting that the grades come from 1 to 6, and that was noted quality of care and support as adequate, quality of staffing as adequate, and quality of management leadership as weak. The section 2.4 sets out those key areas that have been identified by the inspectorate and those key areas that we would wish to look to improve on. As you say, it is a disappointing report for us. We have taken what I'd like to think is fairly decisive action in relation to the management structure within the service. We have since brought in a new registered manager to lead the service and have made some changes in terms of service management perspectives as well. As a result of coming in, we've since developed a further action plan that we have shared with the Care Inspectorate, setting out how we intend to address the key points that they have raised. In subsequent meetings with the Care Inspectorate, they have indicated that they are content with the progress we've made so far, and rather than coming in for a full-up inspection, they've informed us that they will come in within a further 12-month period, rather than an immediacy there, which for us gives an assurance that the actions we've taken will begin to make an impact. The critical part for us will be to ensure that we sustain those actions and continue to improve the service. I would wish just to note that the feedback from the care inspectorate in regard to the carers was very positive in recognising the excellent work that our frontline carers are actually doing. And I think overall we've probably let them down in terms of the support service that we put in place for them. We've met with carers and worked through the inspection report with them and have put in place some significant changes in relation to recording, in relation to care planning that has addressed the issues raised. We continue to monitor that on a weekly and monthly basis. And we've also made a commitment that further reports would be brought back to Cabinet, and we will happily share with PRS on a quarterly basis to demonstrate that the progress and the actions that we have taken that are beginning to make the differences that we need. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Councillor Russell.
Thank you, Chair. It's more a statement leading to some questions. To say it's disappointing isn't a strong enough word from my point of view. This is one of the most crucial services that this local authority or any local authority provides for its people. We're dealing with vulnerable people. And to see that some of the reports, the care plans are not checked after 6 months, within that period of time, older people can have so many changes to their treatment needs, and some things can be missed and some important things can be missed. And I know that there have been some changes with regards to taking on board members via Aspire and different organisations, and I wonder if to mitigate any issues that we're looking at training and retraining some of the carers for by giving criticism. I also have to give praise to the carers that we have. Some are excellent, some have been with us a long time and give excellent care. I've witnessed it myself with friends of mine, and so I can obviously say that is to be commended, but this whole report, we should be ashamed of this report.
Would you like to respond to that, Mr. Short?
So a couple of points within there. The main bit for us has been around, I think the review within the 6 months, I think, is a point well made. I think the difficulty in all this is that I certainly don't think this is the time to take a defensive position on. So I just need to acknowledge that. In going forward, the issue we have is around that normally in the reablement service that actually people would only be in the service for 6 weeks and they would move on. So some of our structures about how we are geared up to do the review, so whilst we would do an informal review, we would expect people to move on after 6 weeks. The difficulty is the entire service is just kind of silting up a little bit. So our staff are holding on to people for longer than they normally would. That's not an excuse, it's an explanation as why we got to there. And I suppose the reassurance I'd want to say is whilst we did not document the reviews and that in effect would suggest it didn't happen, we know from speaking to staff that they were doing the reviews. But yeah, it's simply not good enough and we accept the point you've made.
Thank you. Anyone else have a question? I have a question. I wondered if we are doing benchmarking and we compare our performance with neighbouring councils. Can you tell us how well we are doing compared to them?
So we do benchmark some of ourselves. The difficulty that we have in terms of benchmarking, it tends to be a pounds and pence benchmark as opposed to some of the stuff around quality. And I think some of the challenges around care at home is how we measure quality within care at home. So what we tend to use will be the care inspectorate reports to determine where quality is, rather than necessarily other types of measures. So we do work closely with our other areas. We note the number of complaints we have. We note the kind of feedback we get. As I say, that our staff are in and out of homes on a daily basis receiving feedback, and I think the point being made was that the input from our carers was very strong and was very well acknowledged by the care inspectorate, but we don't have any straightforward benchmarking data in which we can look across to other areas.
Thank you. Are we all done with this report and content to note the recommendations? Thank you, and we can move on. And if I'd been more organised, with Kelly not being here, I'd have an agenda. thank you. The next report that we're going to look at is the Roslyn Primary School and Nursery, and that will be a report by Dr. Vickers.
Thank you. The purpose of this report is to update PRS on the outcome of the inspection of Roslyn Primary School and its nursery class, as communicated in Education Scotland's letter dated the 19th of December. The valuations for Roslyn Primary School and nursery class are as follows. In the primary school, leadership of change was good, learning, teaching and assessment was very good, raising attainment and achievement was good, and ensuring wellbeing, equality and inclusion was good. In the nursery class, all of the evaluations were rated as good. The key strengths found by the inspection team are listed in section 2.3 of the report. We're really pleased as well there that the head teacher and the principal teacher were praised for their leadership. The inspectorate found that the children knew themselves well as learners and could talk confidently within both an inclusive and a supportive classroom environment, which was a nice comment. Important to us also was the inspectors found rich and varied learning experiences offered to children across the school and the nursery, and this is important because Roslyn were at the forefront of the visible learning implementation. Section 2.4 outlines the areas for improvement, only two there. Firstly, that the children in the nursery would benefit from building their opportunities in play, and for the school to continue to build on approaches to assessment. And that kind of comment we see in a lot of the national reports. Education Scotland have concluded that they are confident that the school has the capacity to continue to improve, so there will be no more inspection visits in relation to this first inspection itself. And the report concludes with four recommendations.
Thank you. Anyone have questions, comments to make? We're content to move on. Thank you. And the next one is the inspection of St Luke's. And again, that's by Dr Vickers.
Thank you. So the purpose of this report is to update PRS on the outcome of the St Luke's Primary School Nursery Class inspection, and that was carried out actually in June, but the letter was not received until the 12th of December. And interestingly, with this inspection, Education Scotland are trying out some new approaches to inspection, and the inspection followed within this one was called a short, more focused visit, and this involved visiting the school for only 2.5 days with fewer inspectors, but the school still received the two-week notification period. The evaluations for St Luke's, and there's only two evaluations here, self-evaluation for self-improvement was satisfactory and raising attainment and achievement was weak. The key strengths found by the inspection team are listed in section 2.3. It's important to note that these included praise for the head teacher, who had a clear vision for the school, and also supported by the acting deputy in terms of them developing the right systems for the school. The support given by the learning assistants was highly praised during the inspection, but also the school's partnership working with its campus partners. So St Luke's and Mayfield are working more jointly together, which is making a difference. Section 2.4 outlines the areas for improvement identified. It would be remiss of me not to state that because of the weak evaluation, Education Scotland do a return visit, and they will do that within 12 months of the date of the letter rather than 12 months from the date of the inspection itself. In section 2.5, I've made an important statement because I don't think that we can underestimate the significant improvement journey that St Luke's is going to be on. Lindsay, the head teacher of St Luke's, also attended Cabinet just to outline her experience, and she has been supported well by the local authority, but in terms of the challenges under staffing, particularly the recruitment and retention in staff, is a key issue for her. And we're saying that this has had a significant impact, particularly on promoted posts, as staff who are seeking promotion tend to move into the non-denominational sector rather than staying within the denominational sector. And also Lindsay spoke about the difficulty with the seeking people not only to gain approval to teach in the denominational sector, but also within the number of national vacancies. Staff are beginning to pick and choose where they go, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to find quality staff within and to retain within areas of multiple deprivation. So I think that that's important just to note the challenges that the school has lying ahead. And the report itself concludes with five recommendations.
Thank you. Does anyone have Councillor Baird?
Thank you, Chair. First, just to clear an interest, one of my children goes to the school. Obviously, it was disappointing to see the report, and obviously concerned about, especially being attainment being one of our key aspects that we look at, and that not being there. In regards to what you mentioned there about staffing, and having sat through quite a few appointments now, is that approval from the church, is that acting as a barrier here for finding the right staff?
It wouldn't necessarily be a barrier, but what we're finding is particularly in promoted posts, so approval can be granted, but for promoted posts, people tend to move out with the Catholic sector within that setting, so we're finding that difference. So Lindsay, when she was presented to Cabinet, was saying She almost never gets the end of training, so if somebody then moves on, her new staff, she needs to train again, so there's quite a high turnover. We have appointed staff permanent to the authority that we've placed in St Luke's in order to help Lindsay just to stabilise the staffing. So that's certainly beginning to have quite a considerable impact. And Lindsay also spoke in terms of the attainment that you mentioned, that the children coming in P1 are at least a year, if not 18 months, behind some of the others in some other schools. So when we look at the virtual comparators across the piece, we see that they've got at least a year to 18 months to make up. So in terms of that closing the gap, that's very, very difficult to do. Lindsay's got really good systems now in place, so you can see the difference for this current P1. By the end of P1, they'll make significant gains, and the end of P4. The inspectors during the visit were particularly concerned about the P6, P7 cohort, so we've built in interventions for those children moving on in transition as well to try to mitigate.
Yeah, thank you.
Just to follow up on that about the P1s being behind, would I be right in thinking that a lot, and again I'm going to have to declare another interest because two of my kids go to Mayfield Nursery, are those kids that are behind coming into P1, are they coming from the nursery, and is that something that we need to address, or is it that they're non-nursery goers?
So that's mixed. So the mixed intake into P1 is indeed an issue. So what we've done there is we've introduced set programmes within the P1 to make sure that any child that's identified as what we would require under target to achieve early level by the end of P1 are on a highly specialised programme to see if we can close the gap. But yeah, it is mixed.
Thank you. Councillor Elise Douglas.
Can I just ask, when the inspection's done in June and then the report's published in December, does the school get any feedback between those times, you know, in that five-month period or whatever it is before? Yeah.
That's a really good point. So the inspection team feedback to the head teacher and the senior management at the end of the inspection week. But that's confidential until the letter's actually published. So for the staff, they wouldn't have been aware of the evaluations of satisfactory or weak. What they were aware of was the action plan. So the school's actually made really significant improvements in the 6 months. So it can be quite disappointing for the staff to then see a report when they've moved on considerably. And that was linked to the fact that it was one of the short, more focused inspections. So it was a new inspection model, and also going through quality assurance systems. When it's a weak evaluation, they need to really check that there's robust evidence used to actually back that up. But the school has made really significant progress in the 6 months. So the school's school group manager went out to the school to communicate that to the staff, so they weren't too demotivated when they read the report itself.
Thank you. We can move on to the next report, which is the inspection of the council's adoption service by Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Chair. So this report outlines the outcome of the above-announced inspection carried out by the Care Inspectorate in November 2017. Section 2.3 shows that they investigated two areas, the quality of care and support, which they graded as good, and the quality of management and leadership, which they also graded as good. The Care Section 2.5 notes the following strengths: the co-location of the service was found to be beneficial, the adopters reported positively on prep groups, linking process was reported to be robust, and the inspectors observed an adoption panel, which they found to be very positive. Section 2.7, because we missed out Section 2.6 in this report, sets out the areas where we can do better. And one of the areas that they noticed was the loss of experienced staff coupled with a high level of maternity cover. So like Alistair, we don't want to be defensive here. However, this service and the fostering service which follows, I would like the elected members to note that the inspections were carried out during a period where a service review was taking place, where the children's services was experienced a high level of maternity cover, and the vacancies were covered by locum staff. Just to reassure you that the service now has permanent staff in place but still has a number of maternity covers, and staff training and development opportunities are still available to all staff, from basic training from newly qualified staff through to SVQ models, HNC, degree and post-degree opportunities. So just to take that into account as we go through. The inspectors noticed two recommendations to ensure the adopters are informed of the full range of support services available to their child and to ensure good quality support is available by the service. And then we go on to the recommendations as set out. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you. I hope all these ladies on their maternity leave have had happy events in their life and they're all keen to return to work. Thank you. And we move on to the next report, which is the fostering service by the council. And again, that's Dr. Smith.
Okay, so just to make you aware, this is one service. This is not two separate services. And they're inspected by the same inspection team looking for different things. So again, the Section 2 sets out the background that we've now co-located all of our children's services staff together, which in the long run will be really positive, but they were going through a period of settling in at the time of the inspection. Based on the findings of this inspection, they awarded the grades of quality of care and support as adequate. It was previously good in 2015, and the quality of management leadership as good. The team noted that there was a robust approach to care planning for children. The carers took an active part in the multi-agency meetings. That the training for foster carers and kinship carers was seen as a strength. They found service development plans were coherent, and the new team manager was viewed as very positive. But they found the following areas for improvement. So relationships between the service and carers as an area for improvement. Again, as I've pointed out, this was a new team in place, and the standard of assessments was found to be variable. And again, this could be linked to the various staff that we had in that period. And there was concern about the workload management and pressure on staff, and we were particularly concerned about this comment. The inspectorate were concerned that the staff at times are overwhelmed by their workload and should be looked at as a matter of urgency, and we undertook that immediately. The inspectors discussed this, and as I said previously, all permanent staff are in place now. And just for you to note the recommendations as set out in the report. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? I have a question. It was that last part that you mentioned about the staff being overwhelmed. Is that because our workload in comparison when we benchmark is higher than other councils, or do we have more problematic issues in placing children for fostering?
No, I don't think so. I think we do benchmark our cases, and you know, you can't measure eggs and pears, and you know, you can have six cases that are absolutely clear, straightforward, you know, things will go smoothly, and you can have other cases that you can have one case that's actually problematic and causes you a lot of concern. So we do benchmark our caseload with other local authorities. I think at the time there was a lot of staff change, there was a lot of staff uncertainty around the Children's Services Review, there was a lot of locum staff in place, and I think all of that together just made people think, oh, you know, where am I? What am I supposed to be doing? Joan is, an excellent, like Grace and Mother, head of service, an excellent head of service in terms of keeping communication going. And this morning we sent out a communication to our staff to say, this is what's happening, here's where we are. So it's keeping people informed about things that are going on. But it's a very difficult area to work in. And fostering adoption are particularly difficult because you're actually removing children from, you know, their main carers. So, you know, it is an area where you do require a level of expertise, and we had lost some of that expertise due to the high maternity leave in that group. However, we've now got permanent staff in place and it is moving forward.
Thank you. We're all happy to note the recommendations. Thank you. And 5.2, the SPSO's annual statistics relating to Midlothian Council cases in 16-17, and that's a report by Mr. Laurie.
Yes, thank you, Chair. The purpose of this report is to provide Cabinet, Performance Review and Scrutiny, with an update regarding the annual SPSO letter and the statistics that relate to this Council, but also to present the Council's annual complaints report, which, in line with statutory requirements, provides an annual review and assessment of complaints coming into Midlothian Council. I think the way that the Council deals with complaints is important. It's an important, and the annual report is an important part of our broader efforts to improve our approach to complaints, our handling, our handling and our reporting on them, and indeed learning from them and benchmarking our performance, specifically in relation to the SPSO indicators. It also includes some summary case studies. The details of the SPSO letter are in Appendix 1. The annual report is in Appendix 2. In terms of recommendation, it's simply to note these items. I'm happy to deal with any questions which the committee may have, and I'm also joined in the chamber today by my colleague Claire Butters, who's the author of the report, and be able to deal with any more detailed questions that members may have.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have questions for Claire or the Chief Exec? Councillor Baird?
Hi. Just looking over the report, it took me a bit of time to kind of pick out what the kind of key things we were looking at. The main one being we miss a lot of bins. that seemed to be kind of the key aspect. And I just wonder if there was a way of we could deliver that in a more kind of visible way for people, let them know, like, see, like, the kind of the real stats, because it did feel like a little bit of a challenge to kind of pull out the key facts there.
This is from the Appendix 2, the Midlothian Annual Report. I think that this is the first time we've presented the report like this, and the report is substantially shaped by the requirements placed upon us by the SPSO. And I think that in terms of producing user-friendly and accessible information, the Council might not be great, but I think we're trying to improve the raw material that the SPSO is providing in this context. So I think there is more we can do in terms of making it more accessible. This is primarily, I guess, for as a tool to drive internal improvement. We also have our public performance reporting requirements. We produce an annual report that gives, I think, a much more accessible document in terms of responding to service issues, performance complaints and other matters. So it's a work in progress. But indeed, if there's any comments about how this could be further improved, I'd be more than pleased to hear them, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Hardy.
I feel it's a bit interesting that the number of complaints are weighed against the total population of Midlothian, as I find it very unlikely that, for example, children would complain about housing as an issue, for example. So perhaps would it not be more appropriate for the complaints to be compared against the adult population, or perhaps even against the households in Midlothian, to give a more accurate picture of the number of complaints, rather than, you know, including parts of the population that are very unlikely to submit complaints?
Yes. I mean, I think we, you know, that might be a better way of measuring it. And what I think we're doing here is we're measuring it the way that others measure as well, for the purposes of comparability. And I think the change you suggest might make differences at the margin in terms of how our performance might relate to others. But certainly we could look at that in terms of future reports.
Thank you, Councillor Alexander.
Yes, just because the complaints about missing bins, it just looks so huge. If that was, if you actually divide it out to the number of bins that were emptied, it's actually quite a small amount. So I just think it's just the way it's reported. Maybe it needs to be reported one way to comply with what is necessary, and another way so that it makes more sense to the people of Midlothian. So we'll maybe need a parallel report.
I certainly wouldn't want to misrepresent the performance of any service. So, yes, I mean, the context is provided in the report in terms of the number of bins that are emptied every week. On the other hand, I still think these statistics point to something that needs to be improved and made better. And I think, I mean, ultimately, the value of complaints is we can use complaints to improve the services we deliver. I think there's a message in there that we need to look at and see if we can improve services in the back of that.
Thank you. Councillor McCall.
Thank you, Chair. Do we do any sort of report on compliments that are received, you know, when we're told when things are going well and what we're doing well? Is that information collated?
I mean, in terms of collation, that would probably be a relatively straightforward exercise. I think the volume is relatively low. I think what we do, and I think this is probably more important, is if things come into my office, as they sometimes do, in various services, often hugely appreciative of the work that's been done, is we make sure that these are communicated to the, you know, the relevant staff teams and staff groups. And I think that, you know, people feel very positive about that. So I certainly don't get huge volumes of that, but quite often when they do come in, they are real indicators of members of our staff that have, you know, gone beyond the call of duty and shown how much they, you know, they care about the quality of what they're doing. So what we do ensure is that people hear about these good stories. We share them as much as we can.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Baird.
Yeah, just to kind of reiterate that statement we were talking about with effectively missed bin is the big thing here. But in the report, it's actually if you look at page 87, it's very, very teeny tiny writing. It just says, note that the majority of commercial operations is missed bins, and this particular service has in excess of 300,000 customers a week. So we're getting 3,000 complaints over the year. For like 300,000, and that's three bins. It's I think we should be kind of, that should be a, because I know if somebody looks at this, they might think, oh, we miss a lot of bins. 3,000 is a big number. But actually, if that was reflected as a percentage, you know, out of bins collected, we get a call for every, you know, 0.1%. You know, I think that would be a bit more helpful to communicate the good work we're doing rather than just a volume of calls.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Councillor Smale.
Thank you, Chair. I find it a little surprising that a report that is basically driven from SPSO, which is a nationwide entity, doesn't really give us any comparable data with other local authorities so we can benchmark whether we're a good authority in terms of levels of complaint and resolution of complaint, and also a gap analysis as to whether we get different types of complaints than other councils. I just wonder, Kenneth, if there was any comment made by the officers working on this as to whether we fare well compared to other councils or fare badly.
Well, I suppose two things there, Chair. One is that in Appendix 1, of course, there is some comparative data which shows for each sector and overall what percentage of or what proportion of the complaints received nationally were receiving within Midlothian. I mean, given the scale of the numbers, I'm not sure that tells us very much. I think more broadly in terms of benchmarking, the requirement from the SPSO to measure these performance indicators and produce the annual report is a new requirement. So the opportunities for benchmarking will exist, but whether other councils have published their reports yet or not, I'm not sure. But there certainly is potential there to compare performance and learn from that.
Thank you very much. Move on to private reports. There are none at this time. So thank you very much for your attendance and contribution, and make sure you have a really successful day. Thank you.